It is so good to be with you today as we dig into God's Word. If you're watching online, if you're at the St. John's campus or the Owosso campus, welcome. I am so glad to be able to share this time with you as we dig into God's Word and as we continue our series, Winning the War in Your Mind. Now, last week, as we started this series, we discovered that there is some good news and some bad news in regards to winning the war in your mind. Now, some of you are saying, Wes, that's the story of the whole world. There's good news, and then there's bad news. And recently, it seems like there's been bad news and bad news. But let me ask you just to listen just for a second. The good news is this, that our minds are one of the most amazing, spectacular gifts that we could ever be given. That's good news. But you also need to hear this truth. Our minds are also the location of the greatest battles we will ever fight. That could be bad news. Or is it? Is it actually bad news? Or is it possible that if we actually embrace the reality that there's a battle going on, that we might actually be able to learn how to fight the battle? Is it possible that if we admit there's a battle, that we could actually discover not only how to fight the battle, but win the battle? Well, friends, that's exactly what we are encouraged to do in Scripture. The key verse of this whole series is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We're going to put it on the screen here. You can see it. Let's look at it together. Paul says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." We all know that we are constantly being exposed to all of the ideas, philosophies, behaviors, mindsets, values of the world around us. We are regularly hit right in the face with the lies of evil. All of these things are constantly battling for control of our thinking and ultimately our mind. But Scripture reminds us we have a choice. We can let God transform us by changing the way we think. And as we experience this amazing transformation of our mind and of our life, we learn to know God's will, God's plan, God's purpose for us. And that is always good and pleasing and perfect. As we started unpacking this passage and learning what it looks like to win the war of our mind, we discovered last week the first step is to remove and replace. Remove and replace. We remove the lies of Satan, the lies that he says about us, and we replace them with God's truth for us. Now, we know that Satan's tactic is to get us believing lies about us that are simply not true, but if he repeats them enough, if he replays the tape in our mind enough, we begin to believe that it is true. So Satan wants to get us stuck into thinking and beliefs that keep us discouraged, filled with fear, frustrated, angry, filled with shame. The enemy of our soul doesn't really care which lie you get stuck in, as long as that lie keeps you from experiencing the life that Jesus came to give you. I think we all know what it's like to get stuck in a rut, thinking the same thoughts, doing the same things, experiencing the same problems. It's just sort of like we are hopelessly entrenched in a muddy, rugged back road, just like this road. When you see a rut like that, you know that when you get stuck in a rut in a car and the tires are all the way down in that rut, that you can actually let go of the steering wheel and the car will just keep going right down the pathway, right down that rut. It can't get out. There's no way out of it. And so it just seems to just go right down the road with no option until the rut ends. Doctors and scientists who study our mind, they tell us the same thing happens in our brain. Every thought produces a neurochemical reaction in our mind. And they say that these neurons, they link together to create messages And the same message that's sent over and over multiple times creates a neural pathway. So our brain literally redesigns itself around these thoughts. The presence of neural pathways or ruts, it makes a thought process easier. It makes it easier for our body to do things almost automatically. And this is an awesome thing when it comes to things like brushing your teeth, getting dressed, riding a bike, driving a car, and a lot of other things that we need to do almost automatically. We don't want to have to relearn that every time we do it. So neural pathways or ruts of our mind can actually be a beautiful thing. And you can see this clearly in our lives. Do you remember when you learned to swim? Or maybe drive a car? Or ride a bike? Or maybe it was playing a sport? Or learning a musical instrument? The first time that you tried any of those things, it felt a little weird. It felt a little awkward. You probably made mistakes and missteps. And maybe you even felt a little bit of fear. But over time, as you practiced, as you repeated the activity, you gradually improve, and eventually it just becomes so natural that you can do it without even thinking about it. Your brain has redesigned itself. It's created a neural pathway so that you can do this activity automatically. And that's a beautiful thing. God created these neural pathways to be a good thing. But here's the reality. As a result of sin, as a result of living in a world that is marred by evil, these neural pathways can also lead us in the wrong direction. A neural pathway, a mental rut like we see on the screen, it can lead us to do things like worrying over everything. Our automatic response to everything is worry. It can lead us, whenever we feel stressed, to reach for food as a way to comfort ourselves. It leads some people to turn to alcohol to calm anxiety. I have a friend from the time that I pastored in Kalamazoo who's a police officer. And I remember him telling me about, as a young officer, he was almost overwhelmed by the stress of the job. So he developed a pattern to help calm the anxiety and deal with the stress. And here's what the pattern looked like. When his shift ended, he would stop at the convenience store and pick up a six-pack of beer. He would head home and flop into the easy chair, and he would work his way through every can of beer as the evening progressed until the anxiety was calmed, and then he would just go to bed, sleep it off, get up the next morning, go to work, start that whole pattern and process over again. One day, this guy woke up to the reality that this pattern that he had developed, that just was happening automatically, it was making him absolutely worthless to his wife and to his kids, and it was leading him towards being a raging alcoholic. And he discovered that he could not change the pattern by himself. His brain had developed, this is the way you handle the stress of the job. This is how you calm the anxiety. And friends, if we're honest, we can say that similar things have happened to us. Our brain has developed pathways that cause us to respond to things almost automatically. And those things that have happened, they may be normal life events that occurred. Or it could have been something very traumatic. It might have been a moment that was fair or not, intentional or not, but it formed an unhealthy pattern that created a toxic rut in our mind. And trying to get out of the rut is a challenge. That's why trying to change when you respond so automatically feels so weird and it feels so awkward. But here's the good news. Psychiatrist Dr. Timothy Jennings writes in his book, The God-Shaped Brain, that our brains have the amazing ability to adapt, change, and rewire based on the choices we make, the beliefs we hold, and the God we worship. Remember the words of Paul in Romans 12:2? Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Paul is saying to us, if you want to win the war in your mind, you have to be willing to rewire your thought patterns. You have to be willing to let God rewire your thoughts. My friend, who I told you about, who developed a pattern of dealing with stress by consuming a six-pack every night, he came to the realization that he could not change that pattern by himself. He couldn't just promise his wife that he wouldn't do it the next night. He couldn't just say, I will never do that again. No, when he came to that realization, he couldn't do it on his own. It was a moment of truth for him. He knew he needed God's help to change and transform that pattern. And I want you to know he experienced an amazing life transformation. And it started when he allowed himself to realize, I need God's help. And God transformed him. True change for him didn't start by him just saying, you know, I probably should find a different way to deal with my stress. True change happened when he admitted he needed God. And when he let God transform his thinking, when you and I have developed a pattern, when we've developed a habit or even an addiction, just saying, I need to change, isn't enough. It isn't enough to simply declare, I'm going to quit smoking on January 1st. It isn't enough to say, you know, this year, every single day, I'm going to eat healthy and I'm going to exercise. It isn't enough just to say, I am no longer going to let social media determine my attitude and mood. Not going to do it anymore. It's not enough just to say, you know, I'm going to read the Bible every day this whole year. It's not enough just to say, I will never visit that website again. It's not enough just to say, kids, I'm sorry, I'll never yell at you again. It's not enough just to say, I'm going to stop isolating myself from the people who really care about me. Just making a declaration of that statement about behavior is not enough. Simply trying to change behavior, it doesn't work. Because the focus is only on modifying the behavior. You don't get to the root of the problem, which is the thought that produces the behavior. You'll never deal with a problem by simply saying, I need to stop or I need to change. We have to let God transform us into a new person by changing the way we think. And friends, let me just remind you of a statement that we made last week that is so important for us to remember today. That following Christ has never been about simply behavior modification. It's always about life transformation. Let God transform you. And when He changes our mind and changes our heart, it changes eventually our behavior. The Apostle Paul clearly knew about experiencing life transformation. He was so dramatically changed that he actually went from being a man named Saul to being known as Paul. Life transformed by the power of God. Paul writes a lot about his mind being changed and his heart being changed. He's the one who says in Romans 12:2, let God transform you by changing the way you think. On another occasion, he writes from a Roman prison some powerful words, encouraging words to believers in Philippi. And he ends that letter, Philippians, in chapter 4, by saying some powerful words about winning the battle of the mind. On the screen, we're going to put it for you, Philippians 4, verse 8, and this is from the Passion Translation. It gives us some fresh wording that I think might be very meaningful for us today. Paul says about winning the battle of your mind, keep your thoughts continually focused on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind. And fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. I think it's significant to remember that Paul is writing these words while he is in a Roman prison. It would have been easy for Paul to have focused on all of the things that were not the way he wanted them to be. It would have been easy for Paul to say, God, this is not what I think should be happening right now. This is not what I want. This is not what I planned. But instead, Paul is making a choice, and he challenges us to make a choice to focus on the right things, to keep the right things in our mind. Psychologists and others who study our brains, that they might say to us that Paul is challenging us with the law of exposure. The law of exposure says this, that our mind absorbs and reflects what is exposed to the most. Paul says, if you want to live differently, if you need to change your mind, then change what you are exposing your mind to the most. If you want to create new pathways, new patterns, new habits, then let God change your mind, and you let God rewire and renew your mind when you focus on His truth. Our minds are rewired and renewed when we zero in on God's truth. Paul says, what rewires our brain, what creates new pathways is all that is authentic, all that is real, all that is honorable, all that is admirable, beautiful, respectful, pure, holy, merciful, and kind, the glorious work of God. Those are the things that rewire and renew our mind. This is where we focus, says Paul. Expose your mind to these things constantly and continually. This is where your mind needs to focus. Now, it's one thing to read those words and say, you know what? Paul's right. I do need to focus on those things more. I need my attention to be on those things as opposed to all the other things going on. It's one thing to read it and agree. But all of us know that everywhere there seems to be things that distract us from those good things that Paul is talking about, from the truth of God. For us to be able to really focus in and keep our thoughts continually on the right things, then we are going to need some help. And I think we have to realize that focus in our minds requires training. It won't just happen naturally. We're going to have to learn to train our minds to focus on the right things. You see this challenge all over in Scripture. A couple of examples are in Psalm 119, verse 15, where the writer says, I set my heart on your precepts, God, and I pay close attention to all of your ways. I set my mind on the right things, the writer says. In another psalm, Psalm 143, verse 5, the writer says, I ponder all of your works, and I think about what you have done. I'm pondering, I'm letting it stay in my mind, I'm marinating it in my mind, and I'm thinking about what you've done, God. You see this theme over and over and over in Scripture. And in Scripture, when it talks about pondering or thinking about or focusing on or setting our mind on, it can also be translated as meditating on. We meditate on, we think about, we focus on the right things that are authentic and real and honorable and admirable and beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and the glorious work of God. Now, somebody might have heard me use the word meditate and think, oh, brother, isn't meditation focusing on some kind of New Age spooky idea where you just sit with crossed legs and arms folded and you're trying to empty your mind of everything and just get into a state of nothingness? Well, that's exactly what Eastern meditation is. Eastern meditation can include some kind of weird stuff. And the encouragement in Eastern meditation is to empty your mind and try to focus on nothing and eventually to get into a state of calm and nothingness. But I want you to know that is the complete opposite of what Scripture actually calls us to do. Meditation or focus in your mind in the biblical context isn't emptying your mind. Instead, it's filling your mind with God's truth. It's putting truth in your mind and then thinking about it and chewing on it and letting it marinate in your mind and allowing the Holy Spirit to apply it to your life throughout the day. A lot of us do some sorts of physical exercise or training because we want to do our best to try to keep our bodies in some sort of decent shape. But a lot of us, we don't consider that our minds also need training. Just as important as it is to walk or run or do cardio or weight training and eating healthy for our bodies, it's just as important for your mind that you train it to meditate, to focus, to marinate on God's truth. This is critical for our minds. And so we're challenged by Paul to make a decision, to fix our minds on the right things so that they are rewired, thought patterns are rewired, and our minds are renewed and able to think in a way that allows God's Spirit to help us understand His good, pleasing, and perfect plan for our lives. Now, sometimes we think about training our mind and we would say, how in this world? That's got to be a complicated process. We sometimes make it complicated. But could I encourage you, as you think about what you could do to focus your mind on the right things, to train your mind on the right things so it can be rewired and renewed by God, don't make it complicated. In fact, simple is almost always better. Here's a really simple plan you can do. Take your phone and download the Bible app. Really simple. Just download the Bible app. And in that Bible app, you could every morning, simply as one of your first actions of the day, you could open the Bible app and you could read the verse of the day. It's right on the homepage. Read the verse of the day. You could even listen to the verse because somebody will read it and maybe share a thought or two about how it applies to their lives. You could listen if you want to. And then after you listen or read it, simply breathe a prayer. God, help me understand your truth and help me live by it today. It can be that simple. If you pray that prayer, I guarantee you that God will bring that verse back to your mind over and over and over again throughout the day. And you will understand it more and more as you go throughout the day. It can be as simple as that. Now, you certainly can do a lot more. There's all sorts of plans you can get into in the Bible app that will help you read a whole chunk of Scripture every day if you have time to do that. And there's a lot of wonderful things that explain Scripture to you there. But just start doing something. Just decide to do something to get focused on the right things. So often, we focus on what we need to stop doing, and there may be some things you need to stop. Maybe you need to stop spending so much time on social media. Maybe you need to turn off the news channel. Could be. Maybe you need to stop talking to certain people because all they do is drag you in the wrong direction and muddy your thoughts. You might need to stop some things. But more importantly is what you focus on, what you start training your mind on the right things. Could you imagine if we could begin to train our minds on what is right and what is true and what is admirable and authentic and real and beautiful and respectful and holy and merciful and kind, if we could begin to train our mind to think about those things first, we might actually be able to live out some words of Scripture that we looked at last week that are very appropriate today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says this, "We as Christ followers, we should demolish arguments and every pretension," that means every idea or philosophy, every belief that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, "and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." If we focus on the right things, we can do that. Imagine if this is just the way our mental pathways worked. Imagine if we, because our minds have been rewired and renewed, could automatically detect the lie that Satan is trying to get in here to our brain, and we could replace it with the truth of God. And imagine as we let this truth rewire our brains and renew our minds, that we could always know God's good and perfect and pleasing plan for our life. That's how I want to live. That's God's desire for you, to win the battle of the mind, to remove and replace, to rewire and to renew. And you can do it with God's help. So could I ask you, what step are you going to take this week to simply train your mind to focus on the truth? I guarantee you, if you take a step, God will meet you right there and will help your mind to begin to be transformed as His truth changes the way you think. Let me pray for you. God, we are so grateful that You have given us the privilege of digging into Your Word for these few moments. And we freely admit that our minds, sometimes there's a battle going on. And we struggle to be able to keep our minds going in the right direction and focused on the right things. And God, You understand our brains. You created them. You designed them. You know how they work. You know all this stuff about neural pathways and all of that. You understand it far better than we ever will. So God, in light of the fact that You are the Creator, in light of the fact that You understand and You know, in light of the fact that You offer us grace and forgiveness and mercy and Your power to help us, we just ask that You would do Your work in our hearts and in our minds. God, for some of us today, we need to acknowledge, like my friend did, that he could not accomplish the change by himself, and he needed You. And God, when he admitted that, everything began to change. And there are some of us today that need to make that admission. God, we can't on our own accomplish what needs to be done in our minds, in our hearts, in our relationships, in our lives. And we open our hearts to You, and we ask for You to forgive and to help and to be the Lord and leader of our life and to change us. And God, as we do that, we believe that You will help us take the steps that we need to take to really be able to experience a whole transformation of our life. God, there's many, many folks who are listening and watching today who have made that declaration already, but there's still a battle going on. Maybe Satan has kept running a lie through the brains that we have started to believe again. And we need to replace it with Your truth, and we need that truth to rewire us and renew us. And so, God, I pray that You would help us just to surrender those thoughts to You today. And may we take some action. May we be willing to say, yes, I will do something to focus my mind on God's truth. And as we do that, may we experience the transforming power that's available to us. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm so grateful that you joined us today. And I am grateful that you are making decisions today to train your mind. If we can help you, if we can pray for you, encourage you, serve you, answer a question, if there is a desire in your heart to get involved and engage with the Grace Point family in a more significant way, please let us know that. You can go to our webpage and there's a link there you can click and fill out some information and send us your question or your thoughts, and we will do our very best to follow up and to serve you in a way that honors Christ. We hope you have an incredible week with God.